Belteshazzar, the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. We live in a world today, and of course this has not changed. I say today, we're looking at something that happened thousands of years ago, and it was happening then, and it is of course happening now, where we are still worshiping false gods. We still lift up false ideas and ideologies. A lot of people think that this brand new anti-God mentality is again brand or new. It is common. And Daniel was facing it. That while they were sitting there and they say, you know what, this wine is delicious, this wine is wonderful, but you know what would be funny? What would be funny is if we got these cups, we brought these vessels in, and we drank wine out of that. And to me, it's very much the same. I'm not a very big hockey fan, but I remember back when the Red Wings were going to win the Stanley Cup or had won the Stanley Cup. Remember all the way back then? Right, and of course that was a big thing. They won and they filled it with champagne and everybody drank it. To me, this is the kind of mentality that we've got here, is we are celebrating in this vessel. And what is it that they were celebrating? They were celebrating their gods of gold and silver and wood. And they were celebrating it as though their gods had won any triumph. As though their gods had delivered the God of Israel to them. And they're excited, and he's got all this debauched activity going on, right? His concubines are there. His wives are there. The rulers of the land are there. And they're all just kind of rejoicing in what they believed was the death of the Hebrew God, or the conquering of the Hebrew God. And this wasn't something that had just happened. This young man would have, at any given time, saw these things and said, hey, you know what? I've got this idea. And I tell you what, we live in a world that still maintains this party. And as Christians, our silence has done us no good whatsoever. There was a time where, in the face of great persecution, we preached the gospel. When our people would die for preaching that gospel to a world that loved their sin and false religion. There was a time where we were lit aflame as garden decorations in Nero's garden for what we believed. Today there are many that think that silence is the best weapon we have. It gets them off of our back. It keeps us from being problematic. But folks, it is not our job to ease the passing of the world around us. There is a foreordained end to this world, one of tribulation and fire. God did not leave us on this earth to enjoy it while it lasts and to take pity on those around us, but to read the writing on the wall. In each and every one of us, or next to each and every one of us, there should be a Bible. And that Bible commands all of the instructions, all of the rules, all of the advices that God has for us to live. And these are nonetheless things that we ought to be preaching. These are things that we ought to be standing by. And again, there are some that will sit there and say, okay, well, what are we talking about here? When we say that we're supposed to be preaching, does that mean that we no longer believe in the elect? Does that mean that we no longer believe that the Word of God is just for His people? Hold on a second. What we do is we get so confused in the idea of what salvation is and how it comes that we forget the go ye. You understand? Now, I fully understand that I'm going to go and I'm going to give the gospel to a bunch of people who are going to reject it. I'm going to give the gospel to people who are not elect. I'm going to do that. But the command is still the same, to preach the gospel. Right? And not just the salvation message, but everything the Word of God says. What was it that killed John the Baptist? It was his message that it was wrong for the king to do what he did. We stand up and we preach against things. They say, well, that's old-fashioned, that's narrow-minded. And you know what? You can say anything we want, right? And they can sit there and, well, you don't understand, you're preaching this message, but the majority of us are laughing at this. The majority of us are drinking wine out of the vessels that were used there in the church. And a lot of us, we look at some of the mistakes, and we look at a lot of the abuses, and we look at a lot of the things that have happened in the church, and we are rejoicing in the failures of those people. But the writing is still on the wall. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For it is appointed unto a man once to die, then the judgment. The writing is on the wall. It is not ours to hide the message on the wall, to put a nice painting or poster in front of it. It is not for us to lie about what it is that's written on the wall. It is for us to read the writing of condemnation and to set what comes next in God's hands. And that's it. It tires me when I see so many people out there proclaiming to be preachers and they're willing to adapt or change the word of God to fit the common ideology. Common ideology will never agree with God. We just won't. In our sin natures and in our desires, we will always find ourselves contrary to what it says in our natural state. It's just always going to happen. Right? Because for everywhere it says no, we're going to want to do it even more so. Right? We could sit there and I could go with my buddy Caspian and we could be looking, we'd be standing in an elevator and I know in his eyes is the desire to push every button on the elevator. We were playing, I'm not very good at it, but we were playing a video game and I can't tell which one of them did it. They all had their little remotes, but they couldn't do anything because somebody just kept hitting buttons. Right? It is in the desire, I think, of every child to want to push every button and mash everything and hit all the buttons on the elevator. And if you say, don't do this, go do this. But I tell you what, as much as we pick on kids, it is in each and every one of our hearts to do the wrong thing. Well, brother, I just don't believe that. All right, fine, let me drive with you in some heavy traffic. Prove to me how strong your sin nature, how strong of a grip you have on your sin nature. Hey, tell me, I tell you what, let me follow you around the house for a while. Let me see what you watch. Let me see what you say. Let me see what happens to you when you're pressed. Let me be there on your worst day so I can see what comes out of your mouth. And then tell me that we are not impulsive. We need to be able to read the writing on the wall and just let the meaning be the meaning. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Let us read the writing on the wall and stand by it. Amen. Then we sit there and say, well, brother, that's fine, but they're not going to abide by it. They're not going to do it, but you better. You better. And that's the thing, we're always sitting there, we're preaching against the sins of the world, but what about your sin? When you read the writing on the wall, what does it mean to you? Not brother so-and-so, not sister so-and-so, not the people out in the world, but can you read it and abide by it? You see, just like Daniel, in many ways, we've got the right to look at this world and all of its problems and go, you know what? Not my monkey, not my circus, man. Not my circus, not my monkeys. I love that. On my final day at work, I kind of joked about that, where somebody came in and said, "Matt, listen, this is a problem, and we got a plan for this next week." I go, "Hey, you forgot it's my last day. Here's your new boss. This whole circus right here. If there's a problem with the elephants, if the cheetahs get out, brand new boss. Because as of next week, I'm not even going to be thinking about what's going on over there. I'm not going to be thinking about that water heater because I'm going to be gone." I still thought about the hot water heater anyway, because that's who I am. But we can sit there and say, well, you know, there's this problem here, and abortion's out of control, and assault's out of control of all the different varying types of it, and the government's out of control, and politics is out of control, everything's out of control. We can sit there and say, yeah, but I'm saved. Many of you gotta have it even easier. You're sitting there going, I've got 7 to 12 years tops to watch this thing burn. We could sit there and say, that's your problem. You've denied what God had to say. You're taking a laugh at God and His Word. That's your problem. Enjoy your eternity while I prepare for mine. That is not what we're called to do. It's not. Now again, I have no advice for those that want to convince the whole world to abide by the truth. I have no idea how to do that. I have a hard enough time bringing my own self under subjection. The fact of the matter is, though, we still need to preach the word. The whole word. Not doctor it, don't play with it, and don't sit there and say, well, that's their problem. I'll clean my yard and let the rest of the world burn. Here we see a lot of where we stand represented in Daniel. We are called from among them. But whatever goes on greatly affects us still. Changes in leadership, cultural structure, and philosophy deeply affect us. We can sit as leaders like Daniel or preach among the regulars like Paul, but we are still tied to the people of this planet at the same time being completely called out from among them. And it is a remarkable stance that we have. Where I am no longer among you, I'm no longer a part of this world, I still have to sit there and pay the extra taxes. You know, I may be a citizen of heaven, but man, I do not like what's going on with the supply chain right now. I'm called out. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to stress about it. My Lord is my King, right? But man, I still have to sit there and watch this stuff that disrespects my God happening. We are still in this planet. There are still some things that we need to do. And yes, it seems like we're beating our heads against a brick wall, but what we got to remember is no, the point isn't to convert the world. It is to preach to it. You understand? And if we were sitting there and we were counting success based solely on numbers, based solely on who agreed, we would have to change what we're preaching to get them. We would have to change what we're doing to bring them in and continue tricking them. I was talking to somebody just recently. They were talking about some of the things that they were doing in the area to get people into the church. And they were talking about a certain thing that they did and how much it cost and how many of them went out and all the different things that they did. And they sat there and said, and nothing happened. I said, you know what, aren't you glad that God blesses for the going and not how many people you bring in? Right? Because if that were the case, we don't need, you know, we don't need to go knock on doors. We don't need door knockers. We don't need to invite people we meet in the grocery store. We don't need to get on the phone with our relatives. All we would really need to do is, I don't know, buy some cotton candy, some popcorn, have some donkey rides, some horse rides, buy a petting farm out here. That's all we would really need to do. Free barbecue first Sunday of the month. We could do those things, but that's not the article of success, is it? When Daniel was called forward, and let's read a little bit more of our passage, right? Verse 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Now, as I'm sitting here, and I've got some relatives with some experience in the matter, where maybe he's sitting there going, whoo, what was in that wine? But as he goes over and he says, hey, and everybody else sees the writing on the wall. He goes, I see that hand writing. And as he goes over and he gets a real close look, the writing doesn't go away. And there's a few other people, maybe some servants, maybe some other princes, maybe the concubines, maybe his wives. They're all looking at the writing, and he goes, you know what? This isn't a hallucination. That really happened. And if the writing is there, the hand was there, and this was the worst party ever now. Right? This is not good. And there are many things today that signal where the world is headed. They go to the grocery store. Oh, man, I don't like this. And they'll sit there and they'll hear certain things come out of the president's mouth and they'll go, oh, I don't like that. They'll look at the number of young girls who disappear just, oh, something's got to be done. And they'll sit there and they'll see the crime rates and they'll see the drug addictions and they'll see the people that die by the overdose. And they'll sit there and they'll say, oh, this is bad. and we'll see the great effects in this planet, and all the things that we know are gearing up to the final days. And all they do is sit there and go, oh. And maybe their knees shake and knock, and maybe they're sad, and maybe they're angry, but they refuse to do any of the things that would deliver them from the problem, right? We're perfectly okay with people dressing and overly sexualizing women. We're perfectly okay with that, but we get frustrated when so many of our children disappear. We're perfectly okay with somebody being able to buy a 24-pack of booze and go home and drink it. But we're the first one to donate to some kind of an organization that helps mothers who's lost their children to drunk driving. We've got something of a disconnect. We want to refuse that our actions have consequences in this planet. And God's people, we're sitting there going, I know exactly why that's happening. And I know the writing on the wall. I know what it says. You're upset by the hand. You're upset by the writing showing up. But it's always been there. This warning has always been there. And you've refused it. He said, you can't put people on the television half naked and wonder why our society is the way that it is. Well, brother, that's their freedom. They're allowed to express that freedom. And it's how they want to represent themselves. When you raise a society on that, what do you think is going to emerge out of it? When we allow certain things that shouldn't be legal to be legal, what do you think is going to happen? We're upset at the punishment. We're upset at the atmosphere we're creating, but we care nothing to preserve it. I had a lady one time, she came and she was upset. She was whining and she was complaining and she was, oh, this place is a dump. It was at the apartment community. There's trash blown all over the place. Every time I go into the trash corral, there's trash all over. I go out to my car and there's trash on the ground. You know who my number one person who left their trash out was? And I know it was them because they'd leave their letters out with their name on it. The very lady who was complaining. You know why she was complaining? Because she was looking at her rent bill. And it was, for whatever reason, though she had paid it on time and regular 8 months in a row, she got to the one time she didn't want to pay it, and all of a sudden, this place is a dump. I have 5 times had to charge you for leaving your trash out in the middle of the road. Because you know what people do? If you ever see this in an apartment community, they'll take their trash, they'll put it right on top of the car. They'll get on that cell phone, they'll drive off, their trash bag will go flying. Right? And then, of course, it's my fault. Right? Look at people that sit there. They'll bang holes in the walls. They would draw all over the walls. They would leave trash all over. I had one person went out, had himself a good time on a Saturday, vomited all the way through the hallways, all the way up to his apartment, footprints in the gunk, all the way up to his apartment door, had the audacity to call me and complain that it smelled out in the hallway. Wearing the exact same shoes, no doubt, that he was wearing that night when he trailed it all the way up to his own house. That was a fun phone call to make. Doot, doot, doot. Hey, whoever that was, you let him in last night, so I need you to... There ain't nobody here but me. Perfect. I'm sending you the cleaning bill. We want to make the mess, but we get upset that there is a mess. We want to do the things that cause the problems, but all of a sudden it's God's fault when there are problems. Well, why would God allow that to happen? We did it. We did it. Right? If I've got a kid that punches a hole in the window and then comes to me and complains at my level of parenthood that I allow a cold breeze into his room, you'd expect me to take him out back, wouldn't you? You'd sit there and say, you need to get that boy looked at. I say boy because Melody would never. But no, think of that's what we're doing. Well, why would God allow a drunk driver to take out my relative? Why on earth do we allow drinking? Oh, freedom. Yeah, freedom, brother. Freedom. You know, I'm perfectly okay with freedom. I'm a big proponent of freedom. I live in this country. I love freedom. But you're never free from the consequences of your actions. And if nothing happens, if nothing in that moment causes a problem, It does not mean that it does not perpetuate more problems in the future. And you better believe God's going to deal with that. Just because God put it off, just because God said the whooping's coming later, that does not mean we're off scot-free. The biggest thing to be concerned about is God's judgment on this world. Not whether or not we got in trouble, not whether or not we got away with it, not whether or not the law caught us. It's God. That's the biggest thing this world needs to be concerned about. Listen, in this culture, this party, there were people there and their time was up. For Belshazzar, this was it. This was the night. And what does he do? He panics and he calls around. Listen, we got to get somebody who can read this writing. We got to get somebody that can tell me what this means. Verse 13, then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah? Again, could have very easily been, not my pig, not my farm. Whom the king my father brought out of Jewry. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee. And that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men of the astrologers have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. Listen, we've brought in all of these philosophers and psychiatrists and scientists, and they're taking a crack at what's going on with this global problem. And none of them have come up with a solid idea as to what to do. I have brought in the astronomers. I have brought in the scientists. I brought in the philosophers. None of them can touch this writing. But I've heard you. And isn't it funny that that's how the world works? I've brought in everybody who's willing to tell me what I want to think. And not a one of them can tell me how to fix this. So you know what? I've heard that you've got some success and wisdom, right? Hey, Pastor, I've talked to every one of my coworkers. Hey, Pastor, I've talked to a lot of my yes men friends. They'll sit there and say, oh yeah, you're perfectly okay in that sin. Absolutely. I need you to let me know, right? You know God, I need you to let me know what to do with this problem. Last chance really was to go to the Lord. Last chance was to go to a man, not even look at the scriptures yourself, but to go to somebody to have them read to you. No, we go to God first. And again, this is a very worldly situation. Please, somebody who will sit there and tell me whatever I want, tell me how to fix this. The problem is that if you cause a problem and you're surrounded by a bunch of people who just agree with you, you're not going to find the solution. You've got to go to the Lord. That's what I love about the Lord. For as much as He loves me, He'll never just tell me that things are okay because I want to hear that they're okay. They won't. Right? I've got people in my life I'll do that. I'll say, hey, listen, can you take a look at this? Let me know what you think. Seconds later, oh, that looks great. I know you did not have time enough to read all that. Well, I just from the look of it. Well, Microsoft Word did the most of that. I need you to read it. Right? The formatting, the paragraphing, yeah, it looks, but what is that? Does this work? Does this make sense? If I plug it into other things, does it make sense? Oh, well, it looks great to me. God, for as much as He loves me, will never just acquiesce to me. He'll sit there and He'll, from the Word of God, you'll see, this is what you should do. So they finally get down, they bring Daniel in. Verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, because the king's had it. He's, I'll give you everything. You'll be second, and I'll give you all these things. And Daniel goes, oh no, you keep those things. Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. And I will say this, you wonder why a preacher should probably not be a millionaire? And notice how I put that in there, should probably not. When you pipe for money, you'll play anything. When I'm doing something for the Lord, but also for your benefit, and there's that kind of a thing involved, sacrifices, compromises will be made. You understand? Now listen, while it is completely valid, and this is awkward for me as the pastor, completely valid for a church to make sure the pastor has everything he needs, pastors should not be rich. Just my opinion. Right. And no, you keep give your gifts to somebody else. I'm going to read this anyway. I'm not going to read it because I think that I can get something out of it. There's a lot of preachers standing behind pulpits. They got the fog machines going, telling people things they want to hear. Why? Because they want to hear them. No, I'm going to read this anyway. Well, people might not like it. I'm going to read this anyway. O thou King, the Most High, God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him whom he would slew. And whom he would be, he kept alive. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. And it goes on to explain the madness of King Nebuchadnezzar as it fell on him. Verse 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many tekel upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commended Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. When we're seeing these things in the world, we're finding that they've been numbered. We're finding that they're lacking. We're finding that in all the things that they're doing to better themselves, they feel worse. And all of the things that they think they are doing to free themselves, they're only hurting themselves more. Right? And all of this is eventually going to come to a head. It's going to come to a problem. Where again, the Lord comes down and deals his judgment, and they'll have nothing in the form of a defense. Right? We're looking at some bad philosophies. We're looking at some bad ideologies. We're looking at some sinful practices. We're looking at some awful things. And what this world needs is for someone to read the writing on the wall. You know what we do? We read that writing, whether they're going to listen to it or not. You ever tell somebody, you ever warn somebody from a scriptural perspective not to do something? And they go, oh, well, that's nice, but, you know, we got to run a business. Oh, well, you know, that's nice, but you know what? That's outdated, and I'm a little bit more contemporary than that. You know what? You got to be more open-minded. You got to be this, you got to be that, and then you watch them go, and they keep having to convince themselves that they're perfectly happy having done the thing that they've done. Right? I've seen a lot of things sneak into a church. Not our church, not churches I've been members of, but I've seen things sneak into a church and completely ruin them. That the preacher stood up and he said, don't do that. And nonetheless, people did that. And the church suffered for it. And they spent all their days sitting there pretending like the thing that they did not happen. The crime that they covered, the sin that was committed, the lack of focus that they pertained themselves to, did not cause the problem. I've watched this world twist itself into a knot. They want to be able to have the party, but they don't want to have to claim responsibility for the mess. They want to be able to have the booze, but they don't want to have to sit there and say that it's causing the drunkenness. They want the freedom to do drugs if we want, right? We ought to be able to do whatever we want, put whatever I want into my body. But then we're going to sit there and we're going to complain about overdoses and losing friendships and people who die unnecessarily. And we're going to sit there, we're going to boohoo and we're going to cry about the condition and the problems created by our sin. They might not want to listen. We're going to preach it anyway. They might not even like the message that we have. It might not itch their ears. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They might not like what we have to say. Listen, the Bible is very clear on this subject. Yeah, well, from Sunday school, that's your interpretation, is it? If I take a puzzle, and for those of you that were in Sunday school, if I take a puzzle and I lay the puzzle out and I put it together, and it's a lovely picture of a farm, is that my interpretation? Or is that the way the piece is put together? Right? Now, if you put it together, a nice puzzle picture of a farm, and you look at it and go, this is a beautiful picture of a farm. You know who'd like that? Pastor would like that. So you jumble up, hey, Pastor, I want you to borrow my puzzle here. Put it together. Let me know what you think about the picture. And I put it together, and the pieces aren't going in there, and I've got a stack of extra pieces, and I can't tell you what the picture of. You'd sit there and say, well, there's more of a problem with your with the functionality of you putting the puzzle together than there is the picture not being the picture. Right? The problem is you didn't put the picture you didn't put the pieces where they fit. Right? You twisted, you turned, you tried to create a picture that you want. Right? Somebody gave me one time, it was in school, a wreath made out of painted puzzle pieces. And they just took the pieces, they painted them all green, and they just kind of this way. And that's how a lot of people build theology. That's their interpretation. You manhandled it. Now it was a beautiful wreath, don't get me wrong. If you're thinking about, hey, that's a great thing to put on my Pinterest, I'm not trying to stop you. The point is this, you can't sit there and manipulate and paint and color. You can't take the Rubik's Cube and paint all the colors on there and call it solved. They may not like the message, but the message is still the message. We can't change it. We can't manipulate it just to make it scratch their ears a certain way. The writing on the wall will always be what it is. You know what? It may even cause them to gnash their teeth. Acts 7 verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Let's talk about Stephen. It may cause them some anger. But I didn't write it. I didn't make your mistakes. I didn't write the writing on the wall. I read it to you. Right? You know what? I am not I don't see myself as a good writer. But that alone should be able to prove to you I didn't write this. Also, this doesn't need my help. Right? I help it with this. I don't have, not my beard, my throat. But I help it with this, but there's not much more. This doesn't need me. You understand? Lord takes me out tomorrow. There's a bunch more that'll sit there and read the word as it is. That's what it needs to be done with, right? We read the writing on the wall. We don't sit there and go, okay, well, hold on. I tell you what, hold on. And we'll just fix it. It says you're doing fine, King. You're doing fine. That's not it. We're sitting there saying, well, see where it says that your kingdom is divided? No, it means multiplied. And if you take it down to the initial Aramaic, that's, it multiplied. And see, that's good. And all you need to do is give a little bit of money to me, and it'll multiply your kingdom. And you see that it doesn't need our help. It might make them mad to hear that is a sin, that God will judge that. They may not like to hear that they're sinners. They may not enjoy it, but it is not yours to make it enjoyable, to be more palatable. It is yours to make it right. You know, I often thought about this. The people whose jobs it is to make medication taste good, whoever that is ought to be fired. Right? It's grape flavored. Right? We've got those antacids in the bathrooms, right? You ever try one of those? I don't know who those are for, but you ever try one of those? Right? This one's orange. This one's pineapple. This one's grape. They all taste the same. Right? Flintstone vitamins. This is a grape, Fred Flintstone. No, it's not. It's battery acid. What are you doing? Right? It's Kool-Aid and battery acid. That's what it is. And that's what they're doing. How do I make this message taste better? You can't. It's a warning. Go out there, paint all the stop signs green. It doesn't change the fact that it's a warning. And people will only take it less seriously. All we're doing is making a mockery of it. We don't make a mockery of the word. We don't lighten the word. We don't water down the word. We preach it as it is. And then there's this. You see how when Daniel brings the interpretation, despite what he said, they still want to reward him. They might even sit and listen to it if you feed them. They might even sit there and want to have something to do with it if they think it'll solve their problem. But I tell you what, a lost person can't use religion to solve their problems. Right? There was this idea centuries ago where I could adapt the morality of godliness, right? I could take the morality of Christendom and I can apply it to a humanistic mindset. And you know what they found out? You can't do that. Because people without sin natures don't need rules. Right? Jesus Christ said, I'm not come to save the perfect, I'm here for what? The lost. Right? You can't sit there and say that inside of me is perfectly okay and there's nothing wrong with me as a person. There's no sin nature, but still have all the rules that will protect you against your sin nature and expect people to follow them. Nobody follows rules, really. Right? We break them as often as we think that it's necessary. And that's what we see out there. Well, these rules are for other people. They're not for me. These rules are for the people I don't like. But for me, I have some freedoms. Right? I tell you what, these rules are the rules as long as other people aren't around, right? We'll take that as far as the government. We'll take that as far as taxes. We'll take that even as far as, well, kids, we only have 2 scoops of ice cream, but when the kids are in bed, we'll have a little bit more. Right? We'll break those rules all day. Right? There is no morality outside of God. We can have it. We can put on the show, right? I'm sure there are some really wonderful, kind-hearted people out there, did some wonderful things, gave millions over to feed and vaccinate and give fresh water to folks. But I tell you what, deep down inside, there is still a sin nature. We can do good things, but we cannot become good things. Right? And they'll sit there. They might even love it. Oh, no, yeah, please tell me. Tell me so I can fix this problem. Hey, listen, you know, we don't really go to church, but my kids are acting crazy. So I've got to take them and dump them off at the church. Or I'll take them into the church. Ah, somebody's got to fix these kids. And somebody's got to fix my marriage. And somebody's got to fix my business. And somebody's got to fix these things. So I'll go to the Lord as the last resort. And I'll listen to him for as long as I can get something out of it. For as long as I feel like a good person. For as long as I feel like it's beneficial to me, I'll follow the Lord. John chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Right? Religion ought not to be to service you. That's not what it's supposed to be, and that's what it's become. Right? How can I best service you through our Christian perspective? I had somebody sit there and say, well, most of being a pastor is just good customer service. What? Customer service? Now listen, I understand in these big ecumenical churches, they're social clubs. I get that. You come in and they're trying to get donations out of you. They're trying to get money out of you. They're more like multi-level marketing. They're more like pyramid schemes. They're more like things like that where you can get something out of it. But in the house of God, that's not it. Right? When we sit there, we talk about problems with the roof. It is not Home Baptist Church and the CEO trying to fix a problem with their stuff. That's us trying to fix the roof. Our roof that we get together under and we worship God under. That is God's roof. We are His children. We are taking care of Him. Right? When we sit there, we go to visit my mom and my mom needs a chore done. I'm not buying in to Mom and Dad LLC. I'm not donating to Mom and Dad LLC. I'm taking care of family. When we do things for God, we are not buying into Church LLC. We're not buying into Church Incorporated. We're doing the things that pertain to God for Him because we love Him. When I come here for the services, now obviously as a preacher I do one thing, but when I sit for a sermon, I don't sit for a sermon to make sure that I feel good at the end of it. Alright? Well, like I'm sitting there watching television, and if I don't like what's going on that channel, I'll switch over to the other channel. Right? Well, you know, Baptists, they preach a certain way, but let me get to some of these more reformer types, right? He really has a way of tickling my ear. He's off on a lot of doctrine, but I tell you what, he's got that accent, sounds real good. It's not what we are. We are not about to, well, if I go to church, I'll get some benefits, right? If I go to church, there'll be people who think I'm a good person. I got to go to church. I'm a legacy member. I got to go to church. I've got that position that I fill. I've got to go to church because if not, who will park in my parking spot and sit in my chair? And if I miss and a new person comes in and they sit in my pew, it's a whole conversation. I've got to be there. No. We go to hear the word of God that our lives would be changed. We go to God and we do the things and we read the writing on the wall because there's a warning in it we need to listen to. We need to. When we were first making the transition, we were selling the house and we were coming here. Something happened in the mortgage, and it was a national thing, where they took anywhere from 7 to 11 mortgage payments out of people's bank accounts. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. And I can't remember how much it was, but we were in the red by thousands, overdrafted by thousands, because they took that payment out 7 times. And I tell you what, good business practice says that you should at least have a couple, up to 6. We didn't have that many. We had a lot going on. And you don't sit there and have in your checking account all your money. So we're deeply overdrafted. You know how I knew? Got a little warning on my phone. Beep. And you know what that did, Sister Glenda? That made me feel bad. Beep. Oh, don't tell me it's overdrafted. How judgmental. You're making me feel like I'm not good with my money. I tell you what, I'm never going to go to a phone again. This is awful. I'm going to stop banking. No! I panicked! I dialed in, what does the writing say? What is this saying? And I looked at it, and I couldn't believe it. And I tell you what, much like King Belshazzar, knees were knocking. What happened? I'll be honest with you, my first thought was, you know how sometimes kids, they get online, and you see those videos where the kids got online, they bought thousands of dollars. My first thought was that, and I saw how much, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. We finally looked at it. We just see all the payments going to the mortgage company. And just all the thoughts that come to mind. But I tell you what, the warning is there for a purpose. Now they got it all reversed and everything was fine. And they become a laughing stock. They lost a lot of business. I'm sure there's probably a couple class action lawsuits out there. But all the same, you read the writing on the wall. Because if you don't pay attention to the warnings, you're signing yourself up for whatever comes down the road. Right? Don't you just hate it when you're driving down the road and the check engine light comes on? What's the solution to that? Well, what you do is you take your cell phone out, you put it right over the check engine light. I was going down the road and a rattle started to happen. Well, that's fine. Just turn the radio up. Right? If it ever gets to the point to where your ears are starting to hurt from the radio and you can still hear the clacking, you might want to ask somebody for some help. No, you read the writing on the wall, and what this world needs is people reading the writing on the wall. Because someone needs to stay. Someone needs to read the writing. I tell you what, it would be beautiful and merciful for at any time Daniel to have been able to just go home. Right? Daniel was taken from his family at a very young age. He was forced into this society. And I tell you what, they took advantage of his wisdom again and again and again. They often punished him for keeping the relationship with God that provided the very wisdom that saved them and blessed them. They needed Daniel. This whole nation needed Daniel to be who he was. And I tell you what, they gave him nothing but trouble for it. Yeah, there was rewards and yeah, there was blessings. But I tell you what, with leaderships and being the third ruler of the country, that's more responsibility. Hey, don't you tell you what? You've done such a good job helping us, even though we inconvenienced you, and even though we kidnapped you from the people in Belshazzar, even as he's talking about this, refers, hey, didn't we kidnap you? Right? Refers to all of this abuse. And oh, yeah, by the way, even though we disrespect you and your God, and yeah, these are technically the instruments of your God. Just forget about that and the smell coming out of them. But I tell you, we need you to now run, be the third ruler of our country, by the way. We've got no respect, we've got no love, we've got no care, but we need you to fix this. And wouldn't it be so nice for Daniel to have just been able to go home? So you know what? Bye. And much that we've got a workforce problem right now, where a lot of people are sitting there in jobs that are kind of rough, and they're sitting there going, you know what, I found another way to make money, I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Right? And I tell you what, it does kind of stink when you try to go through the fast food drive-thru or something, or try to get a fancy cup of coffee or whatever, and they're not doing it that day because they don't have enough coworkers. That's awful. I get that. But I tell you what, there is a lot of temptation to be sitting there after you're being screamed at and somebody's throwing a McWaffle or whatever at you. There's a lot of temptation to walk away from that. And I tell you what, as we sit here in the world and they say, listen, you can't preach that. And listen, we find you offensive. And listen, we've got all these nasty words for you. And listen, we've got all this bad conversation. And yes, absolutely, we think you're dogs. And yes, absolutely, under certain circumstances, it's okay for us to hit you and to scream at you. And by the way, that's not okay for Christians to behave in the same way, right? We got to, if we don't want that behavior, we don't do that behavior. But, right? It's perfectly okay for us to do that because you're a narrow-minded, bigoted Christian and you shouldn't have those points of view and you're very dogmatic and you're very rude. We would say, oh man, you know what would just be nice? Rapture. That'd be nice. Some of you sitting there going, you know what, Lord, hurry up. You know, it's been a good run. It's been a good run, but it's a long run. Take me out. Right? Hill's getting a little steep. A lot of obstacles. I'm done. It is perfectly natural to not want to fight. It's perfectly natural to not want to preach. It's perfectly natural to not want to stand. But we are not called to a natural thing, are we? We are not called to a natural warfare. This battle has been going on a lot longer. And I tell you what, if the disciples had to fight in the conditions we had today, they would be thrilled. Compared to what they had to go with, they would be thrilled today. They took you off of Twitter. Oh, man. I was just glad when they took me out of the prison. Wait. So you're saying that there's people and they were at the church and they were holding signs? Yeah. Could you believe that? They're out there and they weren't throwing anything or doing anything, but they just had signs out there saying that they didn't like what we were preaching. Okay, but when did they come in and set the place on fire? Well, they didn't. But I tell you what, they got food delivered and they didn't offer us any. Oh. At what point did they come in, drag you, beat you half dead in front of your kids, and let your kids go out and starve? No. I mean, we went to lunch right after. It was fine. You know how thrilled they would be today if Paul was able to show up today? I mean, he'd kick our tails, I think. Right? You guys have none of the obstacles, and yet this is what we're facing, right? None of the obstacles, and this is the spirit that we've got inside. No, we need to stand, and we need to read the writing on the wall. Because look at me, who else is qualified to read the writing on the wall? Who else? All will complain. I don't like what's going on in the schools. I don't like what's going on in the government. I don't like these talking heads. I don't like these people on the news. I don't like these people in the media. I don't like these new kids getting up there talking. We've got all these beliefs on who we don't want to talk, but you know what? The one people who should be talking, you know what we're doing? Come on, Lord. You know, you don't have just dead space. You don't. Right, we've got a house full of noises, right? Lots of noises in my house, lots of them. I don't even know what half of them are, right? There was yesterday alone for like an hour, there was a video game going. Melody had like this little airplane thing that she walks around behind, just noises. If I want to talk, if I want to relay some important information, it's lunchtime, stop that, that's my foot. If I have to relay something important, I have to stop the noise for a second. And I have to say that clearly, don't I? Hey! All right, lunchtime. Right? I don't have to be rude. I don't have to be mean. I don't have to go smacking people around. But I have to, hey, listen. Woo! Hey! Lunch. And yet we're sitting there waiting for a pause in the noise of this world for us to say something. We're waiting for the world to write us an invitation, say, hey, listen, preach that word. Can I tell you this? That invitation's not coming. That's right. They love our silence. Brad, the pot dealers down here, they love our silence. The liquor store down here, they love our silence. The people out there who are making a killing on selling humanistic ideologies to people, be it through social media, the internet, television, whatever, any ways that we've always sold it, the devil loves our silence. It's okay to irritate just a little bit. It's okay. Hey, I know you don't want to hear this, but this is what it is. Listen, I know you want to do this, and I know this seems fun, and I know this is awesome, but when you grow up, you're going to wish you listened to this. When the time comes, you're going to wish you had this gospel. You're going to wish you understood what it is that God wanted you to understand. We know the writer. Who else would you have to speak? We're commanded by the writer to preach. Who else would you have preach? And I'll tell you what, this is the exact reason why God saved us, is to be what? The salt and the light. The salt and the light. Right? Many of you, you've got salt shakers at home, don't you? What happens when you leave the salt in the shaker? Nothing. It just sits there, doesn't it? Sometimes it gets clumpy, but it's there. Does it salt any food? Well, no. But I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings with the salt. You know, some people like salt, some people don't. I don't want to put that on there. What about the pepper? We'll just leave the pepper there. We don't put anything on there. And we think that we can be salt by staying in a container. That's not how that works. Right? We've got bags of salt to pour out over the sidewalk over here. Is that going to help the sidewalk at all if I leave it in the bag? That'd be nice. I made a whole career lugging those bags around, right? It'd be nice if I could just buy the bags and they went out there and did it themselves. That's not how that works. We are the salt. We're supposed to go out there and do salt things. Right? What about light? We're supposed to be light things. I messed up last night. You know what I did? I went to bed and I left the lights on. And typically I'm one of the last to go to bed and one of the first ones to get up. And you know what I did? This is what's ridiculous. I went to bed last night, and I didn't look around at the lights. I just went to bed, and I shut the door. Why did I shut the door? Number one, to keep the cats out. I hate those things. Number two, because if I leave the door open, I see the light, and we need some light to let the kids go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. I shut the door to keep the light out. You know what else I did? I took the blankets. I put them over my head. Why? To keep the light out. My brother needed a flashlight or a nightlight when he was a kid. I didn't. Put the blanket over my head to keep the light out. You know what I just could have done? I could have gone out and shut the light. We're covering light. This whole world, they're covering light. When we ought to be the light. Turn yourself on. Go out there. Shine. But what does shining look like? Smiling, right? The creepy kind of Christian approach to things. Hi, how are you? So good. You've met those people like that, right? Where is it Christian or is it Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Hi, one of us. And no, go out there, be real. But the light that we're shining is the light of Jesus Christ. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't have us do that. Well, who's your God? Well, you're going to find out. You may not like me. You may not like me talking about him, but you're sure going to meet him. I'm trying to prepare you. There's coming a day, and I don't want you to go and not having been warned. We need to be a perfect steward in our love for others. Being a sinner, it does make sense that we would sin, and temptation makes sense. Needing forgiveness again makes sense, but believing that we have to sin, believing that we have to leave sin happening, the fact that the idea that we shouldn't talk about sin, folks, that's false doctrine. That's heresy. That's blasphemy is what that is. Well, if we offend people, that's the point. I mean, again, I don't want to sit there and hurt people's feelings. Wouldn't it just be so easy if I could tell somebody, hey, you're a sinner, but because Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins, you can have salvation. Wouldn't it be nice if you could say, hey, because you're a sinner, and that wouldn't offend anybody? That'd be wonderful. That's the goal, isn't it? I don't want to offend, but it is offensive. It is. Hey, listen, that thing that everyone's so excited about, that's sin. That's wrong. Oh, no, you can't say that. That's very offensive. Things are offensive. And I tell you what, if you get so bent out of shape because you find out you're wrong, the problem isn't the thing that hurts your feelings. The problem is you. I find out I'm wrong all the time. I had to learn. You have to grow. You have to realize that things aren't the way they are. And you've got to mature. Right? I used to call that maturing. Where I used to think the world was one way, and then I grew up and I realized it's not. That's maturity. That's wisdom kicking in. Oh, don't ever tell me I'm wrong. I'm sorry. But that's the only reason why God left me here. Is to read the writing on the wall. And if when I read that, you go, yes, I believe what that says. That's better for you, right? As a saved person, we ought to believe what it says in the Bible. But if you sit there and that offends you, there's no way to scrub that writing off the wall. You can't blame me. You can't throw me under the bus. You can't burn enough of us to get the writing off of the wall. The Word of God still stands. And I tell you what, long after we're gone, if the Lord does not come back, the Word will still be here. And it is our job to continue to preach it and hold it and pass it around. And again, There will be people who reject it. There will be people who are against it. But we don't change it to fit. We don't change it to make it right in their eyes. We leave it as it is because it's right already. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, it can be hard